This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So, with a good understanding of their culture and how they live in their communities, let's zoom in a little bit further and talk about them and what they look like. So we haven't actually defined the typical, traditional, or like as written characteristics of what a dragonborn will appear like visually.
Yeah. So they are reptilian, not mammalian, but are they cold-blooded or are they warm-blooded? It doesn't say. Have fun. But they're going to be very strong, very tall, like really solidly built. Perhaps like in the same way of like a half orc would be, where they're just like they look like they didn't cross. They're built. They're like beefy boys that do like caber tossing, right? They're like 6.5 feet tall, like is pretty typical, 300 pounds. And the hands are more like Nightcrawler from the X-Men, where you have mm-hmm. three fingers and a thumb. And kind of like talon-like endings or claws instead of like fingernails. And then kind of very tight, fine scales on the skin, brass, bronze, but also ranging into scarlet, rust, gold, and copper green. Again, kind of giving a nod to the original, you know, five colors from each of the chromatic and metallics as well. And they don't have a tail. They can sometimes have like small stubby horns, but not in the way you're thinking of like with like a tiefling, but more, they're very ornamental if they are there, kind of in the back. And they have like more of like snouts, like think like how a lizard has an elongated face or like dogs have elongated faces. So they actually have that snout as opposed to a very kind of flat face like humans do. So I know- they're very distinctive.
I know we were talking before we started recording, we were talking about Trogdor, but I also can't help but like picture a leopard gecko. Have you ever seen a leopard gecko?
Yes.
They've got these like permanent spines on their face.
Uh-huh.
I was like, how great with the like big beefy CrossFit dragonborn that's just got this like permanent spile emblazoned on its face because of the shape of its snout.
Well, that's awesome. And it's like very angry and intimidating, smiling the whole time. You're like,
yeah,
okay,
even put you at disadvantage, you know, for all your intimidation checks.
Or advantage, because it's like, this is not right. This is yeah. not okay.
This is weirding me out, guys.
Make the big dragon person stop. Yeah, so that's kind of how they're going to look.
You can't really get scales off of them, right? Because I know like dragon scales are a thing in game dynamics, have value or for trade or some other things. So it's not really like the dragonborn. They have kind of scaly skin, but it's not going to be scales in the same way that a dragon would.
Right, because like a snake has scales, but they don't like shed, right? Like they could shed a skin.
Oh my god, can you imagine if a dragon bolted?
Oh my gosh. They would weaken at Bernie's that molt skin so fast. Most parties would, at least. Which is a sentence I've never said before.
Welcome to the compendium.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So not really. It's more uniform skin like, as opposed to, the way we see dragons depicted where the scales could kind of like come loose and there's like just tender flesh beneath. It's more tight knit than that. I think like you said, like the geckos or bearded dragons, that kind of thing. It's more like that.
Right. And do they, would you say, this is getting a little bit niche, but, would they have to have custom clothing like tailored for them? Like if they find a suit of armor, if they're adventuring or something like that, is it just like, yeah, it'll fit because they're a medium sized creature, or because of their different kind of like biological nature, like how they're built, would they be one of the ones that would have to take it to somebody to actually get it tailored or fitted? What would you think?
I don't think so. Helms would be hard. Like helmets and things, I think that would be the case. But for like body pieces, probably not. The only difficult problem there would be just the size of them.
And don't give them gauntlets, magical gauntlets.
Yeah, that could also be difficult because like, why is there an extra finger? What's this about? Yeah, and I feel like their fingers might be a little thicker as well, but hopefully magical gloves will just kind of adapt to that because a wizard did it. but yeah, I mean, because like they're just big beefy dudes, right? They wear a triple X L shirt. And so that might be the only problem. But typically, I don't really worry about that in my games because that's just, I mean, unless I want to make a big deal out of it because of story. But yeah, it's not going to be like you have to have custom pants because you have a tail like the tieflings might. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's pretty straightforward there.
Okay. So let's circle back a little bit and dive into their traits when you're playing one, what you're going to see on your character sheet as benefits from playing a dragonborn and the benefits you're going to get depending on the dragon that you choose as your ancestry for your character.
Yeah. So Dragonborn, they get a +2 to their strength score and a +1 to their charisma, which is great.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. They make great sorcerers. They make great fighters and barbarians. They make excellent paladins, which need both of those stats to kind of run. So that's a pretty common one. They actually can get they grow really, really fast. So they can be up and walking around within hours of hatching. And when they're three, they kind of are like this equivalent of a 10-year-old human child. And then they reach adulthood by 15. And they live a little longer than humans, about 80 years. So like they're ready to, it's like a horse, like can learn how to walk and run within a couple hours of being born. And they grow to full size in like a year because things are harsh and you got to get moving. It seems to be that kind of vibe.
So their lifespan is about the same as humans, but they actually are going to live more life because they can take advantage of that span a lot sooner.
Right. And with that drive to like be the very best, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then alignment, it tends to be extremes. It says, you know, that the two big gods in dragon society is Bahamut and Tiamat for good and evil. And so there's going to be that range there. But I'm going to say typically for Dragonborns, based on what we've learned about their history, I feel like lawful is kind of the way to go. Mm-hmm. But the player's handbook says most Dragonborn are good. But of course, there can be evil ones as well.
Well, I mean, how do you think that plays into what you always say about alignment being descriptive and not prescriptive?
Right, exactly. Like alignment is what you make it. Look at your actions and tell me what that says about your alignment, not the other way around.
So would you not necessarily kind of prescribe your alignment to a dragonborn based off of kind of how you feel that alignment should be layered into a character?
Yeah, I never recommend letting the book tell you what your alignment should be when it comes to the races. But if I wanted to encourage someone to pick an alignment based on the lore, I would lean them towards lawful as opposed to good or evil as a description, just because of the way they can be played. But again, play them the way you want. I kind of even disagree with the book here about the way they did it. But do as you like.
And then, so we already kind of mentioned size. They're officially a medium, but they are going to be a much larger medium than some other like medium classified characters.
Right. They're on the large side of the spectrum of medium. Absolutely. And then they have a walking speed of 30 feet. And then they get something called Draconic Ancestry, which we've been kind of like talking about this whole time, mm-hmm. where you get to pick what dragon are you a descendant of, right? And you get a resistance and a breath weapon based on that.
Yeah, and this is basically in place-ish of your subrace.
Basically, yes. This one's a weird one.
When I was reading it, it was like trying to try to track like how it sifts through that normal lens. But this is kind of, in essence, your subrace for a dragonborn.
Right. And the way that I think a lot of people do it is how I do it. I look at the middle column there and decide what kind of damage I want to do, or kind of breath weapon would be cool, and then go from there. And for some of them, there's some slight differences. Like, where is the fire one? The fire one, is it the same? Okay, yeah. So brass dragon, gold dragon, and red dragon all have fire. But the brass dragon, when they do their breath weapon, it's a 5-foot by 30-foot line, and it's a dex save. The gold dragon, it's a 15-foot cone dex save, and the red dragon, it's a 15-foot cone. So if you want to do a line or you want to do a cone, pick pick a different draconic ancestry, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of these are either going to be dex saves or con saves. So like, and it makes sense by the damage type. So poison is going to be a con save. Cold, going to be a con save. Weirdly, acid and poison, not con save. Actually, poison is, sorry. Acid's not. Acid is a dex save. So some of these are lines, some of these are cones, but that's the basic idea.
Okay.
And then you get, then the way the breath weapon works is basically it lets you use your breath weapon as a, where is it? Is it a bonus action? It doesn't
actually say.
What?
It just says it's a weapon.
Weird. Okay, I'm pretty sure that it is a action, not a bonus action. But that is so odd that it wouldn't call that out. Weird. But basically, as an action, you can say, I'm going to do my breath weapon. And it's going to be a save because it's something people are reacting to. And the save is calculated very much like how a wizard or a sorcerer's spell save is, where it's 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus the relevant ability modifier. In this case, your constitution modifier, which is kind of wild. But it makes sense because you use constitution to figure out how long you can hold your breath. And so here...
Yeah, and that's going to be the same even if you pick a dragon that has a dex save type of a
right. This breath, is how you calculate. Right? Okay. Yeah,
just because this is the type of thing I get
right. So the constitution modifier is how you calculate your DC, but what the person has to, what kind of save they have to make to meet that DC on the other side might be dex or it might be con. But it's constitution for calculating it, which is kind of wild. It makes sense. I like that. Like you're blowing out your breath for this weapon, like, you know, in a destructive birthday candle. But, the weird thing is that they don't get a bonus to their constitution as a race. So now you have to think about that too, if you want that to be effective
when you're building your stats. Yeah. And this is an automatic hit. Right. Because it's a save. So you don't have to roll to see if you hit. You just do this and it's an automatic hit. And the person has to see if they take full damage or half damage.
Right. And it's going to be 2d6 damage no matter what you picked. And then like a lot of the.
No matter what level.
That's what I'm going to say. So no matter what kind of damage type, it's 2d6. But as you level up your character, it increases. So level 6 is 3d6. Level 11, 4d6. Level 16, 5d6. And you get to use it once per short or long rest.
Okay.
And then you gain a resistance to the damage type that's the same as your breath weapon.
Okay, so like a resistance to acid, if you're,
which makes a lot of sense. You don't want to hurt yourself, right?
Yeah, a little bit of backsplash there, you're in trouble.
Exactly. And then they also learn common and also draconic. And I love what this is about Draconic. I almost always pick Draconic for my characters because it's just so much fun. It's thought to be one of the oldest languages and is often used in the study of magic because it's one of the oldest races that has magic and has intelligence and language to communicate those magical effects with other people, right? And so that language sounds harsh to most creatures and includes numerous hard consonants and syllables. So like we said, with the naming conventions, it does kind of have really long names, very hard sounds. Again, Draconic calls that out as well.
Yeah. And I like that it's used in the study of magic because that harkens back to what you were saying about potentially where Dragonborn came from, were like wizards or somebody experimenting. And so if that's where the first kind of humanoid dragon came from, that would be their source point for how they would have developed their language, was in the presence of this wizard or this other magical being that kind of created them. So that's kind of a fun
absolutely connection. I can kind of see that. Now, we don't have, like you said, we don't really have subclasses, but there are two things of note I would like to point out for this. One is that Wizards of the Coast, at the time of this recording, very recently put out an Unearthed Arcana, which is a free PDF you can download from the Wizards site that gives you some more options for Dragonborns, which means typically that they are probably going to be releasing a book sometime soon that will have either these exact rules or something very, very close to it. And I'm not going to go in depth with it. You can download it yourself. Just type in, you know, Unearth Arcana Draconic Options, and it'll come up in your search. But basically, it lets you pick not just the ancestry, but you can pick if you want to be a chromatic dragonborn, a metallic dragonborn, or wait for it, a gem dragonborn. Oh, yes. Yes.
Ooh, shiny.
And so, again, the resistance and the breath weapon, same kind of thing, but they give you some extra kind of cool options. The chromatics can basically, at a certain level, focus really hard and get immunity to their kind of, to, instead of resistance for 10 minutes, the metallic dragonborns, they can actually do some different things with their breath weapon. Like I was mentioning earlier, how the metallic dragons sometimes had two different kinds of breath weapons.
Yeah.
There's a kind of head nod to that in there as well. And then the gem dragonborn, which are descended from gem dragons, which haven't really been in fifth edition, but they used to be in older editions. They're more psionic. And so there are some psionic powers in here, like letting you speak telepathically with another creature and that kind of stuff. There's also some kind of new feats in here, some kind of cool things for kobolds and some new spells. So check that out. That's a lot of fun. The only other thing I would say, too, when it comes to this is that there is actually a kind of dragonborn in the monster manual. But not really. It's almost more like what I was talking about with the Draconians that used to kind of right. pop up back in the old days in Dragonlance, where you have a half dragon. And a half dragon is on page, I want to say 181 of the Monster Manual.
You were so close, 180.
Oh, 180. You're right. Thank you.
They would have found it anyways, but
after a strongly worded email, yes. There is a stat block here for a half red dragon veteran, and how you could use it and where they come from. But there's also a half dragon template. That means you could potentially add this to an existing character. And instead of, with your DM's permission, of course, being a dragonborn, you could be a half dragon. And half dragons come about even in a weirder way when polymorphed dragons or shapeshifted dragons have a child while polymorphed or shapeshifted. It'll sometimes produce a half dragon offspring, which is different because they can sometimes, they have tails and sometimes can even have wings, but they can't have kids of their own. So they can't self-propagate, but sometimes they figure a way around it with, you guessed it, magic. So, yeah, and they have some cool things here, like they have blind sight, dark vision, which dragonborns don't have. They have their damage resistances and breath weapons and that kind of stuff.
So doing like a half dragon dwarf could actually be your ideal pairing if they're using con for their breath weapon.
Oh my gosh,
weapon.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think what other race would be like. I mean, obviously you could do any of them, but which one would be like your ideal pairing? And I feel like those two would go together well because it would complement. Like you said, they don't get a bump to their con even though they use it for their breath weapon. So if you were to pair them as like a half with a race that does get a bump to con.
Yeah. That'd be really nice. Yeah. And just as a tip too, like there's a lot of little kind of cool things in the monster manual that where there's templates that you can add to existing monsters like this, vampiric and half dragon and some other stuff where you can start layering these things on to make something truly terrible. You know, like a vampiric half dragon, demonic, turtle? I don't know. Anyway, I lost the thread there for a second. Turtle. Yeah,
that's like the best I can come up with.
Harpy. Let's go with that. Anyway, all right. So that's the only other kind of things I would say when it comes to like other versions of Dragonborn. Definitely check out that Unearth Arcana. It'll probably be out in a book maybe next year sometime. That's how that typically goes when they get feedback from playtests. And there's also the half dragon, which is a bit more like some of the Draconian stuff from the decades past.
So you mentioned a couple of them earlier, but are there any more unique pairing, you know, class race ideas that you have or background race ideas that you have to really pack the biggest punch with your Dragonborn? I know that you said like Paladin is a really good one and there's a couple others.
Yeah, so Paladin's a really great one because their smites and spells come from charisma. And then they do melee attack with our strength base, which is great. And that kind of has that straight up warrior vibe. You know, I was chosen by the dragons of you know, eons past to be here, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is great. And that honor system being the very best, that really plays well into mm-hmm. even the mythos of a paladin as well. So that's really great. Sorcerer is great, especially if you do Draconic Bloodline. That gets some really great layerings on top of that. And you could even go buck wild and choose a different ancestor for the Draconic Bloodline for the sorcerer than you do for the Draconic ancestor for the Dragonborn, and just go ice and fire and just go nuts, which would be awesome.
Sounds like the name of a very famous.
I can't imagine what you're talking about. It's not like he lives. It's not. Know, it's not like he lives like, an hour north of here or anything. Oh wait, he does. Yeah, so that'd be kind of fun. And then for like weird pairings. I would love to see, I think it's really cool too, that because they want to be the best at whatever it is they choose, that it could really be anything. But I also love bards that are Dragonborns because it's just interesting to see, especially like if they're kind of a metallic sheen to their scales, they're kind of resplendent naturally. They've got that boost to charisma. They're interesting to look at. They could gain a crab by maybe doing their breath weapon up in the air, you know, like at a carnival with the fire breathers. And they can just do that because they want to. And also too, if, when they sing, the shape of your skull affects resonance. They have a different skull shape.
You're pulling in, so whoa, you're getting a lot deeper here.
What's that gonna sound like? That's awesome, right? So that would be my pick.
It would be really funny too to see a Dragonborn that actually multi-classes in a number of different classes because they're trying to find the thing that like they're going to be really good at, but they're like the outcast, the one that dishonored their clan, and so they're just like trying
to find themselves. That's why they're with the party. They're just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to try a little bit of this.
And they just like every time they level up, they pick one of the party
classes.
Classes.
Yeah, they're like, I'm the new party's backup wizard. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Get away. I worship Dumathoin now. No, you don't, Sonny. Get out of here. That would be awesome. I'd love to see that. Coming to a table near you soon, I guess.
Thanks for tuning into the Compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you are always the first to know every time a new episode is published. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can also follow us on social media by looking up The Compendium, that's C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.